Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody's excited about the anointing on the line. So we love you so much, we brought a little Nicaragua back with us. I preached Thursday night and went through three shirts. Praise God, I'm getting baptized afresh right now. So before I get into the message, I have really great news about Nicaragua. I have news that's not as great. First of all, we had just an amazing time. We had a great team of missionaries. Is everybody in here today that was on the team? Is anybody in Revival Kids? Do we know? I want to start the service off just by letting them share a couple testimonies. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right, come on up, team. Come on and line up here if you would. Yeah, he's not going to take pictures. Sam took a terrible picture last time we asked him to do it. Who is Corey in here? Corey. Oh, Corey's on the stage. Corey will be on the stage. Somebody who takes pictures well. Come take some pictures, please. Oh, come on over. Kind of sit in the front and just get pictures of folks. She's got it. Let her get it here. Lead you. All right. You're going to use this mic right over here. We're going to get. Come on up, Cynthia. Come on up. Say what's up to Cynthia, everybody.
Hi, guys.
What I'd like you to do is give us, like, maybe not necessarily, doesn't have to be the most spectacular thing you saw. It could be. Just tell something that's really, that you want to share. It's something that really stands out to you. Something that you saw or something that you did or the miracle you saw. The horse jawbone in the middle of the street. That's what it was, right?
No, not the animals.
Not that one? Okay, my bad.
Okay. So this one really stood out to me because when we were there, we were praying for people, and we were just seeing, like, wonderful, awesome miracles of God happen. They were getting healed, and then, you know, we would ask them, so your whatever is gone, your affliction is gone. They would be like, yeah. And that's, like, exactly how they answered us. Yeah,
yeah.
It's gone.
It hurt really bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it still hurt?
No.
That's the reaction we got. But we went to a dump, and there was a little community next to the dump. It was actually fairly nice for being next to a dump.
For next to a dump. It was a great
for
community.
Next to yeah. a dump. But we went there, and we saw me and Vince. We went to this home. We prayed for these three boys. They were cousins. And one of them had a bandana handkerchief wrapped around his wrist. And we asked him, you know, what's wrong with your wrist? He said, I sprained it. And we prayed for him. God healed him.
Yeah.
And what really stood out to me, he was one of the only people, if not the only person that I can recall, that was actually smiling after he was healed. He was looking for it. He was like, before I even told him to look for it, to look for the pain, to make sure it was gone, he was like, he was just really, really, he looked really excited, but trying to contain himself. And I just thought it was awesome that, you know, he had that childlike faith and excitement that, you know, he actually smiled, unlike a lot of the other people we prayed for.
Amen. Amen. There you go. A little testimony. Come on up, Denise. Say hello to Denise. She runs our Revival Life Kids Junior Ministry. It's so awesome. It has several names to it. Revival Life Kids Junior. Three words is not enough for your ministry. Go ahead. So Denise was there. She's walking all over Pochuquape with us. So give us your favorite moment or testimony, whatever you want to give. Hopping, yes. She kind of hurt her ankle early on, but go ahead. Tell them your favorite testimony.
It was actually the last night that we were there. We were at the Holy Ghost Church and preaching down fire. And this lady came and found me, and she was, like, going off in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. And she was, like, talking, like, really fast, and it was very, very loud, and you had to scream when you prayed, and you really still couldn't hear what you were saying. And so she took me to this other lady who needed to be prayed for, and I didn't understand a word she was saying either. I just knew something was wrong in her stomach and her throat. So I started praying for her, and I was praying in English, and the other lady looked at me, and she was like, "No habla español." I was like, "No, I told you, no habla español." So I'm praying in English, but she said she got better. Somebody told me she got better. And then afterwards, after it was all done and the service was done, she came up and she tapped me on the shoulder and she started speaking in Spanish again. And I'm just smiling, saying thank you. Yeah. And I got Cynthia, and Cynthia told me that she had gotten healed. She had kidney. She was supposed to have dialysis, or she had kidney stones. And something in her throat. But she got healed, and it was just so awesome because I was praying in English and she's praying in Spanish, and God heard both prayers. And
hallelujah.
She was healed.
God is bilingual. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Come on up, Sarah. Come on, Sarah. Corey, where are you at? Send us your Corey, Lord. So, Sarah, how long have you been at Revival Life Church?
6 months.
6 months.
About 6 months.
All right.
Yeah, 6 months.
And you got right with God how long ago?
November.
In November. You know it hasn't been that long if you don't have to tell the year. November. The last time it was November, I got right with God.
This year, November.
So you haven't been operating in a lot of miracles for years or anything like that, haven't?
No.
No? Okay. No. So you went on this mission trip. Why did you want to go, first of all?
Because I wanted.
You gotta talk to them.
Okay. I wanted more of God, and I wanted to experience this and try and see if I could heal people. And
so it was all about you. You're telling us.
No, but I wanted to see.
Great,
you know,
mission
what God.
No, I'm joking. I want to see what the Nicaraguan people had for me.
I just wanted more of God, and I wanted to go and help out.
Okay, help out. Gotcha. So tell us your story.
Okay.
Were you nervous at all going into this thing?
I was actually very nervous. I didn't know what like God had in store, but I was actually very excited.
Cool. Tell us, what was your favorite moment?
Well, apart from all the healing that was going on, if you all know Linda was here at service last Sunday.
She's a snowbird. She's back up north now.
Yeah, she's back up north now. But last Sunday, she had given me a note with some money in it, and then she asked me to... while I was there in Nicaragua, to buy some like rice or flour, if I hear God on this, to find a widow, to just give it to them and simply like bless them. So while we were there, the first couple of days, when we were ministering and healing people, we were passing out like food packs. So I really never got the opportunity to really, you know, go buy like rice and flour. We were never really in an area where I could do that and just simply bless somebody. So on the last night, pastor had told me if I got a word of knowledge about a widow, that I could, you know, give it to them. Or if I didn't receive anything, just ask the pastor, who was somebody maybe in need. So Thursday night, which was the last night before we left, was at the Holy Ghost Church. Service was amazing, and as I was like praying and we were praying for people, God told me that this one lady to bless her with the money that was given to me. So I asked Jennifer to ask her just to confirm, to make sure she was a widow, and praise God she was. She received
a widow.
Praise God that God
I'm so glad your husband passed, so I get everything God has for me.
No. Praise God. God confirmed that.
Confirmed that her husband passed?
Confirmed that
you
she
want
was
that confirmed?
The person I was supposed to bless.
Oh, we get it. We did the same teasing at Nicaragua. She said the same thing, so we were ready for that one. So you got a word of knowledge on someone who needed the money, and you gave it to him, and you were blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give it up for Jesus. Come on up, Vince. Vince created a new food in Nicaragua called Vince Sticks. They're wonderful. When we go back, the other team will get some.
That's right.
Vince Sticks.
If you survive the travel.
Go ahead.
Anyway. So
he's making fun of my driving. That's what that is.
It was fun.
Go ahead.
It was Mimi, Sarah, and I, and we went to someone's house, and I got a word of knowledge for a headache. So we asked the woman if she had a headache. She said, yeah. She said her arm hurt as well. So we prayed for her. And we asked how she was feeling. And after we prayed for her, she was like really, like, she was like about to pass out. And I was like, what's up with this woman, you know? She was like manifesting something. And we could just tell like something was going on because she was like kind of fine before. But then all of a sudden she was super tired. And like, I was like, okay. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pray for her again. And I'm going to break something off her because you could just tell something's afflicting her.
You're going to break it off real proper like, huh?
Yeah.
Got you.
In the spirit, not
in the spirit. Go ahead.
And so I was like, don't translate this, all right? So we pray, and she's like, she's like a little, she's still tired. She says she was healed, but she was still really tired. And then I asked Mimi, I was like, well, is she saved? And she's like, yeah, I'm a daughter of God. And then Mimi was like, okay. She tried to lead her through salvation, but she was like, Mimi was like, do you believe Jesus was born of a virgin? And she's like, no. And we're like, okay, so you're not saved. So then we walked her through the steps, and then Mimi and Sarah prayed for her, and then this thing just got broken off her, and she went from like this to like, yeah, I'm fine. My headache is gone. Yeah, I have a daughter in the back.
Hallelujah!
That was great.
That's good. That's good news right there. Come on up, Jen. Give it up for Jen, everybody.
Okay.
So you got saved earlier in the week before we went to Nicaragua, right?
Tried me.
She got saved there. No.
No, I got saved on March 26, 2012.
So we're right now at June 1st.
Yeah, I know. But
June 2nd, 3rd. Something so early June. We're in early June. She got saved in March.
Yeah.
End of March. She's never met Felipe. You know that?
Yeah, I've never met Felipe.
Yeah, so. All right, so you came with us on the mission trip.
Yeah, I came on the mission trip. I remember praying to God the entire week before to give me just a spiritual boldness because...
Yeah, Jennifer is not someone who wants to be on a microphone front of a crowd naturally. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I want to go preach in a foreign country. That wasn't like what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And so she really prayed for... Hey, I'm to my stage. Corey, come on up. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, the mic terrifies me. Talking in front of people terrifies me.
Yeah, we can tell.
So I was praying for spiritual boldness for God to just change me on this trip. And, okay. So as you guys know.
Does anybody have any Xanax in the room?
Well, okay, listen, because, you know, God needs people who are going to sacrifice their life and, you know, get out of their comfort zone and go out there and get it. So I was like, okay.
Amen. Amen.
So as you guys know, Corey was not supposed to go on the trip. Glory Corey. Yeah. So I know God blessed me with him going on the trip. He was on my team the entire time. He helped me a lot. I know God just favorites, just awesome. And, you know, God's going to bless me.
The trip.
I know, I know, I know. So then, okay, one testimony that really sticks out is we were walking. Okay, it was me, Andres, and Kevin. We were walking, and this old lady was just walking by us. And Kevin asked her, you know, do you have any pain in your body? Do you have any health issues? And she's like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then he had, like, pain in his knees. He's like, you don't have pain in your knees? She's like, oh, yeah, but I've had that for years, you know. I'm like, well, that's still pain, you know. So we were in a dirt road. It was disgusting. There was garbage everywhere. And finally, we convinced her to let us pray for her. And when we started praying for her, as soon as we started praying for her, she fell. I had to catch her. She was going crazy. And so we're like, what do you feel? She's like, I feel chills. I feel good. She had her eyes closed. And then Kevin was like, how's your vision? And she's like, oh, yeah, I have blurred vision. I have double vision. There was obviously more wrong with her than she wanted to admit. So we covered her eyes and we started praying. And God put it in my spirit. He was like, Jesus said he was going to give her his eyes. And so as soon as I told her that in Spanish, I was like, okay, well, Jesus is going to give you new eyes. As soon as we took our hands off her eyes, she's like, oh, I can see. And she starts crying. She starts crying. She's like, oh, my daughter lives over there, like two houses that way. Go pray for her. She's anemic. So it was just, it was awesome. The lady was so cute.
Did you go pray for the anemic woman?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
She was healed. Oh, she said that she had fatigue all over her body, that, you know, because of the anemia, and that she had double vision. We prayed for her. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I have energy.
Like, she was just going crazy. And so she's like, pray for my son, pray for my son. Her
son. What happened with her vision, though? What happened with her vision?
Her vision was healed.
That's important.
We prayed for her son, and her son has kind of like a mental problem. And when we were praying for him, God told me, he was like, he said, there's nothing wrong with his mind. His mind is perfect. What he lacks is love. So I was like, Lord, fill him with love right now. And we asked him how he felt, and he was crying. He was like, there's burning in my heart. And I told, I was just, God is awesome. And
hallelujah.
Also, on the train ride back, I felt something. Did you just feel my mic?
Yeah. Come on, Andres. She's very shy. There's your healing right there. Amen. I'm running this thing, all right? Go ahead, Andres.
So I just want to thank everybody who was praying for us.
Bonus for Sergio. That's all I got to say.
I want to thank everyone who prayed for us on this trip. There was a lot of divine intervention.
Yeah.
One of the times we had a rainout, and literally the road up the mountain was destroyed. Unfortunately, we were above it, and so it was destroyed behind us pretty much. And Pastor David Copeland, he had to wait about 3 hours to get back to the camp, and we just drove right up.
Yeah.
So thank you for the prayers. And
amen.
What was very significant to me was one day we were just walking around, we were just evangelizing, doing that, all that stuff. And we get to this point where we got all very dizzy. It was Pastor Carl, it was Kevin and myself, and we get very dizzy, and we're just like, what is this? Is it the altitude? What's going on? Maybe we shouldn't go up this way.
Yeah, we'd walked up a real small little trail, and it, like, in the distance from, I don't know, halfway between here and the wall, it went up the distance of this roof, basically. And there was like some houses. So it was a very steep incline to get up to these little things.
And we were just trying to go up there to evangelize, see more people get healed. And right as we're trying to go up, we get dizzy. And our guard comes up, don't go up there, don't go up there, because it's a very dangerous area. You might get stabbed, he said. We're like, what? Okay, so that's the Holy Ghost telling us not to go up there. And right at that moment, I was like, wait, the Holy Ghost prevented Apostle Paul from preaching in Asia. I'm like, wow, I'm living out the gospel right now. The Holy Ghost is like, protecting us. Don't go that way. And we're just like, okay, we'll go the other way.
Yeah, Andres didn't tell the whole story. We went up there and we stopped. He's like, I'm getting very dizzy. I don't know if we should go any farther. And we're sitting there talking to each other. We're like, is this a word of knowledge or not? And he's like, I don't feel comfortable going farther. And we just stood there. And the police officer ran to us and said, don't go farther. You go up there, you'll get stabbed. It wasn't you might. He's like, you will get stabbed. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because right at the top, right there, it turns into like no man's like darkness, and nobody would have seen where we were right at that moment. So, praise God. Yeah, divine intervention is good. Amen. Good, Corey. What you got for me?
I love you, bro. So, on the last morning there, which was Friday morning, we just, had awesome weeks, miracles, healings, words of knowledge, words, prophecy, awesome services. And we're very tired. We just want to go in, eat breakfast, pack, and leave. And, me, Kevin, and Andres, it's about 7:15 in the morning. And we walk into the cafeteria on the camp, which is just like a hut with a roof on it and a kitchen in the back. we walk in, and the kitchen chef, the kitchen chef runs, one of the small ladies runs out from back behind the kitchen into the eating area and starts manifesting and screaming. And we look at each other like, what's going on? And she's like, I feel the presence of God. And we're like, we look at each other and we're like, I guess we should go pray for her. She's just jumping up and down. If you went last year, you remember the dance that they do when they start, man, there's like a bouncing machine or something like that. So we go and pray for her. And for like 10, 15 minutes, we're calling down fire on this lady. She gets delivered, healed. Her back was hurting. And I think her knee was healing, hurting. We prayed for those things. She got healed. She got filled. She got rocked and laid out and was crying and just freaking out. And this went on for like 10, 15 minutes. And at the end, we're talking to her, asked her, what happened when we walked in? She's like, well, when you walked in, I just felt the presence of God. And I knew you were anointed. And I just started manifesting, we cast a devil.
Hallelujah.
She got free. And as we were talking to her at the end, amen. Glory to God. She's like, 2 nights ago in the service, on Wednesday night, we had a service on the compound. She said, I was, And we had a really long altar call. You know, not a lot of people were coming up. Eventually, we got breakthrough. But she was there, and she was sitting in the
audience
and didn't come up. But she said, "I was sitting in the audience. I've had eye problems for a very long time. They've hurting. You know, can't see well. They got healed when I was just sitting in there, and they've been perfect for the last 2 days." And we were like, "That's really cool. Praise God." You know, and this lady was just really blessed. It was awesome. You know, just divine appointments the entire time there. So glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Give it up, y'all. Come on, Mimi. There's a YouTube video of Mimi preaching. Ripping it.
Hi, guys.
It was good. You got all the time to think.
I know, but I still don't have anything. Okay, I have something. So, yeah, but I want to share something that has to do with healing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, we went to this, the house of the, no, it wasn't the house of the dump. Yeah, the house of the dump. We were next to the dump, and I forget who I was with, but we went up to this lady that had, like, something wrapped around her arm. It was, like, really dirty and like, nasty looking. So we go up to her, and we're like, "Hey, do you have any pain in your body? We came here from America. We've been here for 4 days. We want to, we're here to pray for people and bless people, and we just want to see healings." And she's like, "Yeah, actually, I have pain in my arm. I broke it, and then I had surgery on it, and it's been hurting ever since then." And so we're like, "Okay, cool." It never got fully healed then. I think I was with Sarah. Okay, so then so we start praying for her. And this lady starts getting, like, dizzy. And I'm like, "So what are you feeling?" And she's like, "I'm feeling dizzy." And I'm like, "Okay, so do you want to grab that chair and sit down right here? You're about to get delivered." And she's like, "Okay." So she grabs the chair and sits down. And so we keep praying for her. And then we're just like, "All right, let's plead the blood of Jesus." And we're like, "La sangre de Jesus, la sangre de Jesus." And we're like just praying for her and just casting whatever she had, because obviously she has something. It was manifesting. So after we were done praying for her, she's like, I'm like, "How do you feel?" And she's like, "I feel better. I feel a burning in my body." I'm like, "How's your arm? Can you move it?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's good. I don't feel any pain." And before she could only move it like this much.
Is that the lady that she paralyzed her arm?
No, this is another lady. So yeah, so she could only barely like move it like this, and then after she's like, "I'm good." And like when we were leaving, she's like, "Bye!" with the same arm. She's like, "Bye!" It was really cool. And she got saved.
Glory to God. Kevin, what you got for us? Kevin received the greatest miracle in Nicaragua, but that's kind of a secret. Go ahead. Kevin got a sense of humor in Nicaragua. I don't know what happened. He told funny jokes the whole time. If you were on the trip last year, you know what a miracle breakthrough that is. Sam, unfortunately, Sarah got his mantle. Yeah. You didn't tell him? I'm sorry. Yeah.
We saw a young guy get out of a wheelchair, right?
He wasn't bound to a wheelchair. This is a funny story. We're walking up the street. We just seen all these miracles. There's a kid in a wheelchair in the middle of the street. I was like, "Y'all got faith? Y'all got faith? Who's got faith?" And the kid's sitting there, and he gets up and starts pushing the wheelchair away. I'm like, "I'm a miracle worker!" But I think it was a toy. But go ahead.
thanks, Corey. Thank you, Holy Ghost. What I really loved is the rapid healing. Is the drive-by healings where we would have to catch the bus, and we'll see a lady and we'll start yelling from distance, "Do you have any pain? Where?" As we're walking, "In Jesus' name, be healed. How do you feel? Good? Gotta go, bye." And she's like, "Oh my goodness." It was amazing. My favorite part of the whole entire trip was riding a horse with my pastor. All for the gospel.
All for the gospel.
It's all for the gospel.
Kevin was a miracle worker. Thank you. Give it up for Kevin. You got anything else? You're good. No, we got a ton of. All right. This may sound not that exciting to you. Last year, we had a lot of really long testimonies. We don't have as many this year. And it was somewhat anticlimactic because last year we would go. No one would want to be healed. We'd get detailed words of knowledge. We would talk about them. We would minister to them. And that didn't really happen this year for some reason. We would walk in the house and we'd say, "Hello, we're missionaries from America. Does anybody have pain in your body?" And they'd say, "No." And we'd say, "Are you the one with the headaches and the knee problem?" And they'd say, "Yeah." I'd say, "We're going to pray for you. How does it feel now?" And they'd be like, "I'm completely healed." And then we'd be like, "I mean, it was that quick. You have headaches and knee problems, right?" "Yes." "And your back?" "Uh-huh." "How does it feel now?" I'm completely healed. Check for the pain. Is it gone? Yes. Okay, well, we're leaving now. You know, it would take longer to walk to a house and talk to people than it would to get them healed. And we're like, okay, well, we'll leave now. Do you know anybody else who needs to be healed? Yeah, okay, my mom. All right, we'll go down there. Hi, mom. Well, Ernesto here just got healed, and he said that you have a back and a neck problem. And we're Missionary for America. Jesus is healing people, and we believe God wants to heal. How's it feel now? Move your head. Oh, it's good? Okay. We'll be leaving now. Have a good day. You know, so we don't have like these really long, elaborate testimonies of ministry times, because it was popping like popcorn. The healings were just popping. And, like I said, it was exciting. But at the same point, it was like, oh, I got to go walk again, huh? Okay. And this was kind of cool. We were healing so many people, we were running out of places to go. And at one point, we saw a couple kids together. And what we started doing was we stopped ministering one by one because it was getting, like I said, a little boring. And so what we would do is we would just gather everybody together. We'd be like, everybody come around here. Come over. Okay. Andres, lead him in salvation. And we just lead like 8 people in salvation at one time. Now Jesus is going to touch your body. Does anybody have pain? Look for the pain now. All right, awesome, you know? And we have a really cool video of, we were in this neighborhood, the same one that the Holy Spirit did not allow us to go up on this hill. The police called us down. So we went to the bottom, we went back down, and as we stood there was like 8 kids there. And we started gathering the kids. And by the end, there was like 30 kids around us. And Andres just had like a children's ministry altar call right there. And they all got saved. And they started tearing up and their faces were crying. Then we started leading them in song and all that. And we're like, oh, praise God. It was like 30 kids right there one time. It was pretty exciting. So yeah, give glory to God. It was really good. We had a wonderful time. The unfortunate news is that this light keeps flickering. No, the unfortunate news is that they're having issues in the missions camp that we went to. I can't lie. They're having some serious issues there, and we most likely will be staying at a different camp come July. The Lord could intervene. Hallelujah. The Lord could intervene in the lighting and the air conditioning. We would all rejoice. But anyways, it's going to be good. If you're going, expect good things. If you got a Bible, go ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Be proud. Be proud, Revival Life fam. It was an amazing, amazing trip. People got healed on the bus to the airport in Miami. People got healed on the plane to Nicaragua. People got touched by the Holy Ghost in the airport in Nicaragua. At every stop we went to, just everywhere we went, people just got healed and touched by the power of God. Did anybody hear Jen there? Been saved since March, operating in prophecy, word of knowledge, and miracle healing. That's good stuff. That's how it's supposed to be, right? All right, I'm going to hit this real quick, I think. Michael, come on up. Hallelujah. I have a really good teaching this morning on the spiritual gifts. I don't know that I'm going to give it, though. That might be next week's message. Who knows? Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's start in Luke 3, shall we? My favorite point of the whole trip probably was Wednesday night. We had a service on the compound. And I didn't preach. Mimi preached. Corey preached. People got saved and delivered. They tried to have a Mother's Day service. Their Mother's Day is May 31st. I didn't fly to Nicaragua for a Mother's Day service. And the glory of God fell in that place. People came because they promised them free food. How many know how it's hard to preach to a building full of people who are expecting free food? But we said the food that we have will not run out. We're going to give you some food. It's going to run out. What we're about to give you is not going to run out. We preach the gospel of Jesus. They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mimi gave her testimony. People were, man, the anointing dropped. Corey screamed until he felt like he was done. He preached, had an altar call. He broke it loose. And they didn't know what to do. Here's what's funny. They didn't know what to do. They're like, can we sing our Mother's Day songs now? The altar is filled with people bawling. Jen is praying for some woman who will not stay still. So she's got her hand, one hand on the stomach, one hand on her back, and she's following this woman all around the altar. And there's two girls up here trying to sing Mother's Day songs. Oh, Mother, you're so great. Corey's over here casting the devil out of someone. People are bawling and she's wandering around. This woman's screaming and jumping. Oh, oh, God, oh, oh, oh. And there's like trying to sing Mother's Day songs. It's like, how are you going to try to tell the Holy Ghost what's going to happen in the service? Luke chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16. Luke 3:16. John the Baptist. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. My question for you this morning is, are you burning? Are you burning? Are you burning? You see, God wants us filled with His Spirit. He wants to manifest the gifts. He wants to touch this world. He wants to do wonderful things. But it's He don't just do it for the lazy. He's not just looking for people who want to be comfortable. Well, if God wants to touch me with revival, He knows where to find me. We see a pattern in this church. When folks will get out of their comfort zone, God will do something. And sometimes God takes you out of your comfort zone because He wants to do something supernatural through you. Sometimes things don't work out exactly how you want because He's trying to build something on the inside of you. Now, I do not believe that anything bad comes from God. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. He can't be nothing but good. It's who He is, and He is unchanging. However, He will use situations. He's not afraid to offend your expectations. Oh, God let me down. It's not possible for God to let you down. For God to let you down means He said He was going to do something, He didn't do it. Now, you can presuppose God is going to do something and He don't do it, and you get all disappointed and all stirred up in your soul, and you get all upset. Oh, why didn't God do whatever? Because He never said He was going to do that. But God will get those circumstances of disappointment, move you into a place of being uncomfortable, so He can do a miracle through you for His glory. You say, why did Jen been saved since late March? Why she get to operate in miracle signs and wonders? Why would Jen just get prophecies and prophesy things and start operating and discerning the spirits and start getting prophetic words that change lives? And why does she get to? Because she got out of her comfort zone. See, you can wait for God to make you uncomfortable, or you can just say, I'm just going to go ahead and get uncomfortable right now. The Bible says you can either throw yourself upon the rock, or let the rock come and crush you. You know, can you turn it down just a touch? You know, every knee's going to bow and confess Jesus Christ is Lord, right? We all got two deaths. We all going to die twice. You're going to die in the spirit and you're going to die in the flesh. You want the spirit one to come first. You don't want your knee to bow first time on the other side. That's bad. You don't want to die in the flesh and then die in the spirit. You do not want that to happen. You want to die in the spirit here and say, I die to me. I die to my plans. I die to my ego. I die to my self-expectations. I die to who I say God is. And I say, God, who are you? Reveal yourself to me. Then once my body dies, I'm already conformed to His image and I get to live with Him. See, but God is looking for some people who will say, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. What do you have for me, Jesus? What do you have for me? Just tell me what to do and I will do it. And Jesus is going to say, oh, you know how you don't like to talk to people? How you like to be shy and kind of lay back in the cut? Yeah, you're going to fly to another country and you're going to lay hands on people. And that's when you're going to find out if I'll heal. You know what? I say this a lot, but you say, I don't know, you know, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? Well, if you don't pray for them, I guarantee you they won't get healed. If just 1 in 10 gets healed, you're already doing better than you were. But you know what I think personally? I think that 9 who didn't get healed make you grow more than the 1 who did. Why would he baptize you in fire? Why would he want to be a consuming fire? Why would he want to be a fuller's soap? Why would he want to put you on the threshing floor? Why? These are all very, this is violent imagery. This is violent imagery. Why? Is he a violent God? No, he's God. He's neither violent nor pacifist. He's God. We don't describe him. He is. But we bend toward him. He doesn't bend toward us. And God is looking for people who will say, I have built my life, Lord. What in it doesn't glorify you? What in it? I just lay before you my life. Just consume it, and whatever's not of you, you know, just burn it up. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And so John the Baptist comes and says, y'all are looking for a new teacher. You're looking for someone who's going to help you take over the government. You're looking for someone who's going to let you get everything you wanted. But guess what? There's someone coming after me. Oh, you think I'm good? This guy is so much better than me. They're thinking, he's going to be a great teacher. He's going to be a prophet. This is going to be awesome. He's going to say, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And they're like, woohoo, we get the Spirit and fire. You light a house on fire, it doesn't spread until it runs out of fuel in that house. Hear me. He wants to consume all the fuel in the house before it moves. Are you burning? Is he consuming all of you yet? I want to do miracle. I want to do signs. I want to do wonders. Well, there's too much of you right now. Here's the good news. God wants to do miracles through you more than you want him to. But he needs you to get out of the way. Are you burning? Are you burning? Met with a man in Nicaragua who has a ministry, and he says, you know, in our church, we don't inhibit the Spirit at all. He says, if anybody feels like they need to testify or interrupt the preacher, or sing or run or get up and sing a song, we just let them. We don't want to interrupt the Spirit at all. I said, that sounds like a bunch of flesh to me. That don't sound like the Spirit. Ain't no way the Holy Ghost is telling me to preach and for you to prophesy over me. My God is not confused. That's people who don't want to bow their knee and still want to call themselves a prophet. Oh, it's getting quiet. Come on now. Come on. The Bible says that spirit of prophecy, the word of the Lord, is shut up in your bones like a consuming fire. But it's shut up in your bones. You get to control that. The scary thing about God is that he has made his gifts subject to your will. He's not going to take over your life. You yield your life. We yield to him. I'm feeling good right now. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they are all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many began to speak in other tongues? How many? Is it God's will for you to speak in tongues? Bible says all. And here's what's wild. Y'all okay? Is this okay? We doing okay? We doing good? Other than this light, are we doing good? Have we given up on trying to fix it? Have we just resigned ourselves to it blinking the rest of the service? Let's not. Let's continue asking, seeking, and knocking. Hallelujah. I'm preaching right now, but the Holy Ghost is ministering. There is a fresh baptism coming. 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 I met with this pastor in Nicaragua, the pastor of the Holy Ghost Church. People go to a third world country and they preach like they never heard of Jesus before. We're going to go and preach the gospel. Where are you going to preach it? In a church. You don't think they heard the gospel? They built a church. You think they just found money and built a church? Or you think people who were already saved gave money and they built a church? I preached on apostolic authority. I said, I come here with no watered down milk. I came with some meat for you today. I preached on apostolic covering, preached on the authority. I preached on the government of God. Prophesied to the church. I said, man, oh, I understand where you're going with the Holy Ghost. This is good. Oh, this is good. I like when I find out where he's going. This is good. So I tell them, you know, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you're ready to take on the world. And when you first get touched with the fire of God, no one can tell you nothing. You go to your family and you start preaching to them and you just get really kind of annoying. You know what I mean? You get just like, they don't like you anymore. And that's not necessarily the point. And you get this blazing fire that you don't necessarily have the character to govern yet. Your anointing is raced ahead of your character. And so you get really kind of obnoxious. And some people just get off in a really funny doctrine because they don't have a lot of good teaching yet. And so they just run off with whatever they know and they kind of mix it with what they've experienced and it just gets kind of funny. And so the time comes as you mature in Christ that you're ready to go do something. And you go to your pastor, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to go do this. And the pastor's going to say, nah, not yet. Nah, wait, not yet. Let's just wait. You come back, is it time now? Is it time? Can I go? And I'm preaching good up in this church and it's quiet. And I'm preaching a good word. My team is cheering me on. Woo, that's good, they're recording it. They're like, this is a good message right here. They're quiet. I said, when the Lord speaks about your call, you will know, God will know, your spouse will know. Man, you're not spiritual running ahead of your wives. That's called not being a good godly husband. Your spouse will know and your pastor will know. So, oh, my spouse isn't spiritual like me. That means you're not a good husband because the Bible says you're supposed to wash her in the water of the word. That's what my Bible tells me. Well, my pastor didn't really hear about it. Well, then you don't got a pastor. Get undercover. So I'm preaching this to them. I tell them, if it's God, you know, this person, you run off without covering. If it's not God, they'll try something. It won't go nowhere. You don't never go nowhere. And if it's a godly man running that church, you can come back and repent. The pastor will restore you. You get your call back. Diane and Lydia went to a little camp this last weekend as counselors at Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I don't know if y'all know this, neither one of them are Christian athletes. I love you both, though. These are ladies undercovering. From what I understand, they have revival up in that place. There's a grace you get to walk in. It just opens doors. Jem was trying to figure everything out on this trip. I said, listen, just do what you're told and it'll work out real well. Finally, she started listening. She's like, I like this. I like the spiritual authority thing. I don't have to think as much. Now, I'm not telling you check your brain at the door. That is not what we're saying. But she would want to ask 500 questions. Like, just go pray for the lady. Trust me, she's going to get healed. Just go pray. She says, I like this. Yes. I talked with the pastor after service. I was like, Pastor, did any of that message make sense? Because people were kind of staring at me. He said, I have a group of leaders in my church. And there's an apostolic call in his house. And he said, I know it's coming. The time is coming that we're going to do lots of stuff. And they keep coming to me saying, Pastor, can we do it now? Is it time now? Can you send us out now? And I keep telling them, not yet. Let's just wait. He said, I had one young man who didn't want to listen. And he left off and lied like I sent him out. And his church never tried to start a church, and it didn't go anywhere. And it grew to be 6 people or 10 people. It never grew like God wanted to. And their family was withering on the vine. And I welcomed them back. He repented. I restored him. Man, there is a fire that is coming. And the Lord does not want it to destroy you. I'm at this camp. And there is all hell breaking loose in the leadership of this camp. I mean, the enemy has run through that thing 6 ways. It was crazy. You think my team knew about it? Of course not. They're undercovering. Now, if each man was there on their own, then they each got to deal with the problems that the leadership of the camp was causing on us. All they got was bad food. I'm the one dealing with people telling us they don't want us in their camp anymore. In a foreign country. But I'm like, I got this. I can carry this. I've been raised up for such a time as this to carry this load in a foreign country. I got this. So you just flow in what you've got and watch the Lord move through you in mighty ways. You see, the Lord is coming into your lives. Even as we're preaching this message, the anointing of God is moving in your lives. And things are going to begin making sense. Things are going to become clear. Just like we had all these healings of vision. And what the Lord actually said to that woman, Jen misspoke a little bit. The Lord said, I'm giving you my vision to that woman. That's better than just his eyes. We want to see things the way Jesus sees them. And it's not always in the natural. Not everything that glitters is gold. Not every open door is from God. We want to go through the God-open doors. We want to go through the things that are actually going to survive the fire. See, God is the one orchestrating everything. He's orchestrating, and we don't know all the plans. We don't know. And so what God does, he says, listen, all you got to worry about doing is just dying to yourself. And do what I tell you to do. And you may not enjoy all of it, but in the end, it's for your good. And if you stay there, it's for my glory. And so we can just live lives being led by Jesus to do things that we can't do on our own because the Spirit of God fills us and we get to function in this world pointing people to Jesus by doing things we couldn't do on our own. And when it's not about us long enough, he starts to give us authority among people. He's like, you're not going to do it for your own good. And when you're undercover and you get gifts that you couldn't have got as quickly on your own. That's how it works. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses was getting worn down. And his father-in-law came to him and said, I got a plan for you. Here's what you do. Get you some men, and to point them over the tens and the hundreds and the thousands. You remember that? That's great. But a couple chapters later, God spoke. I guess a neat plan you got over there, but I didn't say that. Your father-in-law did. Here's my plan. He says, get all the wise men together. In the same spirit that's on you, I'll put on them. And you're like, that's great. But you know what Moses had to do? He had to go to his father-in-law and say, you know that great plan that you gave me? I'm not doing it. That doesn't sound like a big deal unless you got to, you know, unless you have family members that are trying to run your life. What do you do when God tells you something and family members are telling you something else? Come on, let's bring it home. Oh, it's easy to tell the person at church, oh, I see you struggling and God's going to curse you and blah, 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 blah. But tell mama, mama, we don't got money for bills, but I'm trusting God for my supply. You're not running my life. I'm not running back to you. I'm trusting God right here. Gossip about me. Do what you want. But Jesus is my supplier. And I'm going to that church that you don't like. I'm going to Nicaragua, even though you think I don't have money for it. I'm going to do what God told me to do. The Lord Jesus called me to ministry. Yeah, I know. Dad got a business. And you got a plan. And you wanted me to be a doctor. But the Lord Jesus has spoken to me. It's been confirmed time and again. My spouse is in agreement. I've gotten confirmation from my pastor. I'm following Jesus. Oh, that's when the rubber hits the road right there. Mom, I love you. I honor you. Thank you. I'm the man I am because of you. But the Bible says I got married. I done left you. You ain't my supply. Jesus is my supply. This is feeling good right now. I'm going to preach two more things and then we're going to watch the Holy Ghost. I'm either dripping with anointing or sweat. I'm not sure. Anointed sweat. Thank you, Corey. That's a good man right there. What are you talking about, Pastor? Why are we going on this road again? I got a little rebuke in Nicaragua from the Holy Ghost. We've talked about, no, we don't go on 5-star mission trips. We don't go to the luxury hotels and do all that stuff. Well, I realize why people do that. Because if you're going to pay people who run good things, at least you can expect quality service. Because so many Christians haven't died to themselves enough to actually be honorable in their ministry over the long haul. The Lord spoke to me. The whole week showing up, talked about looking at men of God's marriage to know what their ministry will consist of. And I had looked past that on some people. It's like, are there submitted one to another? Do you see love abounding? You can look at someone and they complain to you a lot and you think, oh, it's not their fault. They got a bad marriage. Played a victim. You know what I'm talking about? I meet with this pastor of the Holy Ghost Church. And come July, we're doing a campaign and every night is with his ministry. He brought another pastor in. We're going to be at this other pastor's church and his church during the day. We're going to evangelize with his people. And this is what he says to me. He says, listen, he said this to me 5 times. He said, I've been married for 33 years. Both my daughters are in ministry. First time he said it, I was like, wow, that's great. 33 years. That's awesome. The second time he said to me, you know, I've been in this church. I used to work, whatever. I've been, you know, pastor of this church. I've been married 33 years. Okay. Third time he tells me, you know, I've been planting here. I've been trusting God. I've been, you know, I sow seed, blah, blah, blah. Been married 33 years. Oh, the Lord is telling me something here. You can't separate the man from the anointing. Funky life, funky anointing. Now, don't take this too far, but I would almost rather be discipled by someone who's got their life together and doesn't know Jesus than someone who says they know Jesus, says they prophesy, says they have gifts, but their life is a mess. Some of you, you have bosses that aren't saved. Good people who are teaching you how to live a better life. You know, anything good in their life is from God, because they were created in His image. They may not bow their knee to Him, but at least goodness is shining through them. But here you got someone, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm in ministry, I'm whatever. My marriage is a mess, my health is a mess, my finances are a mess. Nothing good comes out of my mouth. I had a Christian missionary this week argue with me on whether or not it's okay for him to be complaining. Dude, speak life. Well, I didn't grow up Pentecostal. I'm talking about the Bible. Quit murmuring and complaining. Why are you defending your right to complain? You can't separate the person and the anointing. It's one package. Paul told Timothy, look at some, get some men together. And here's how you're going to see. He didn't say they're going to prophesy, they're going to cast out demons. He said, no, look at these, get some men, look at their wives. Look at their kids. Look at their family. Look at their reputation. Make them elders. Well, that's crazy. Because you can't fake that. You cannot fake long-term fruit. You cannot fake long-term fruit. I can come up to you as Bishop Willie Wonder and, you know, and I can fake it for a minute. You can't fake long-term fruit. I saw so many miracles last time with Nicaragua. I saw miracles this time. I sat on the front row of a church service and I watched two of my spiritual children preach and I was crying. And it wasn't amateur night at the pulpit either. You know what I mean? Like they were preaching. It wasn't like, you know, well, let's let them preach to Nicaraguans until they can figure out what they're doing, you know? They were ripping it. You can't fake long-term fruit. You can't fake it. So the anointing is coming. He wants to transform your whole life. The anointing is not coming to help you escape the requirements of this world. It's to give you power to overcome the barriers of this world. The anointing comes to sanctify you in holiness. The anointing comes to give you power for service. The anointing comes to give you intimacy with Jesus. All three. Sanctification from the world. Power for service. Intimacy with Jesus. Don't stumble on one of those. Are you burning? Not burning up. Are you burning? Reva. If you're a visitor, I want to thank you. The Holy Ghost is about to drop in this room right now. Hallelujah. 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 Let me get the Nicaragua team right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you burning? Are you burning this morning? Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about to pray the anointing to start touching some people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we go right there. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. What do you need this morning? You need to be filled with the Spirit of God? You came the right day. You need healing in your body? You came the right day. Listen, I could get the worship team here and work you up. Well, I'm not doing that. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. I love ministering with the worship team, but it's going to be a Holy Ghost.